If you want to have the reading open, it's on page 985. That reading from Matthew begins with a question that Peter put to Jesus. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Why did Peter ask that question? And the answers in the previous verses from our passage, where Jesus had been speaking about how you respond to a brother who sins against you. Was it Peter was having negative feelings about someone and was feeling hurt? Perhaps someone was unfairly critical of him, or was undermining him, or constantly putting him down in front of his friends. Did someone offer to do something and then didn't do it? How much should he take? How often should he forgive? Would seven times be enough? Well, Peter clearly thought he was being generous, for the rabbis of his day taught that three times was enough, so he doubles it and adds an extra one for good measure. He was obviously wanting to show Jesus that he'd taken to heart what he had said in what we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Peter thought he was being big-hearted, could answer his own questions, proposing he should forgive up to seven times. But this was not enough for Jesus, for Jesus answered not seven times, but 77 times. Or if you look at the note at the bottom of the page in the Bible, it's got an alternative reading. 70 times seven. The point Jesus was making, that our forgiveness is to have no limit. Now, forgiveness is something that touches all our lives, for things will have been said and done to us which will have caused us pain and hurt. And I'd be surprised if our words and actions haven't caused hurt to others, either knowingly or unknowingly. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, wrote, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until there's something to forgive." The truth is, it's easy to talk about forgiveness in theory, but what when you've been offended, let down or betrayed, or when you bear the scars of the sin of another, like being hit by a drunk driver or have been abused? Is forgiveness our first thought, or is it revenge? I wonder if we're ever surprised if we've been hurt at the thoughts that go through our heads, fantasizing at what we'd like to see happen to the other person who's hurt us, that we somehow harden our hearts towards them and put up barriers. It can be a surprise to us because we consider ourselves to be nice Christian people. We know we should forgive, and because of that, may think the best thing is to forget what's happened. But you know, forgetting is not forgiveness. The problem is, we can think we've dealt with the hurt we're feeling, but those feelings can keep resurfacing. The thing is, they're not forgotten, for something may happen and you get in touch with those feelings again, and it can make us irritable and difficult to live with. Thinking we can forget is not forgiveness. And you may know that because you've tried it. And there are those who believe that not to forgive punishes the other person, when in fact the hurt, anger, and bitterness you feel most likely has no impact on the other person at all, and only has a negative impact upon our own health and can affect our spiritual, mental, and spiritual well-being. I always worry for people who say, because they've been badly hurt, that they will never forgive, wondering what the consequences will be on their lives. The truth is, when we refuse to forgive, the only person we hurt is ourselves. Anger, resentment, and bitterness can be like poison in our lives, but we can administer the antidote at any time by choosing to forgive. Peter thought there was a limit to forgiving someone. But Jesus responded saying, not seven times, but 70 times seven, meaning no limit. And he went on to tell a parable, which begins, the kingdom of God is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And a man came, we discover, who owed him a lot of money. And the note at the bottom of the page in the Bible says it was sort of 20 years of a day's labourer's wage. It's kind of millions of pounds, a colossal sum. And the servant fell on his knees and begged the king to be patient with him. And we're told the master took pity on him and cancelled the debt and let him go. And the parable is like Jesus holding up a mirror in order that we might see ourselves reflected. For we are the servant who's been forgiven a staggering amount. And God is the great King who has forgiven us at personal cost to himself as he suffers and dies and takes on himself our debt, all our rebellion against him, our unfaithfulness and failure to put him first in our lives, our lack of love, the times we've let him down and turn away, and the hurt we cause others through our pride and selfishness, our lack of care, the words that wound, the resentments we hold on to, our bitterness and hatred, all up to the staggering debt we owe God, which we cannot pay. But there is the good news of the gospel, the good news of Jesus through the cross. The price is paid and we are forgiven. In the parable, Jesus goes on to say, the servant who the king had cancelled his unimaginable large debt finds one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which in comparison is just a few pounds, a day's wage of a labourer, the page tells us. And half throttling the man, demands his money back. That servant falls to his knees and begged him, echoing his own words, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But instead of forgiving, he had him thrown into prison till he can pay. What was owed him in comparison was a trivial amount, but he couldn't find it in his heart to forgive. When the king heard, he was angry at his servant's lack of mercy, and he lost his own forgiveness and finished up cut off in a prison of his own unforgiving spirit. Paul wrote these words in his letter to the Ephesians. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We will in a while pray the Lord's Prayer. We will say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. On the night of the 14th of November 1940, the German Luftwaffe, in the ironically named Operation Moonlight Sonata, reduced Coventry and its cathedral to a heap of smoking ruins. Hundreds died, thousands were casualties or made homeless, and of the beautiful medieval cathedral, only the burnt-out shell remained. The people of Coventry were devastated, shocked, and numbed by the enormity of the scale of destruction wreaked by the air raid. A small congregation gathered for worship in the ruins of the cathedral. Someone had fashioned a crude cross out of two charred beams and placed it by the altar. And it spoke to those there both of the desolation they experienced and the fact that God shared in it as well. When they began to say the Lord's Prayer, voices faltered as they began to repeat, forgive us our trespasses. The outrageousness of what they were being asked to do suddenly hit them. They were being asked to forgive their enemies, those who had destroyed their city, burnt down their cathedral, killed or wounded family, friends and neighbours. Yet some had the courage to continue, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Coventry Cathedral to this day has remained true to that act of the will and has become the centre of reconciliation and hope worldwide through the community of the Cross of Nails. It was on that bleak day in November that the truth of the resurrection and reconciliation began to bear fruit. To forgive does not mean closing our eyes to what has happened, nor denying the pain, nor even having feelings of forgiveness. As the story of Coventry shows, when people look beyond their own pain to the mercy and forgiveness of God, then their journey of forgiveness can begin. Well, you may ask, are we expected to forgive if the person who's hurt us shows no remorse or doesn't ask for forgiveness? And the truth is, you may wait a long time. While suffering on the cross, Jesus did not wait for those crucifying him to apologize, but he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus began the parable, "The kingdom of God is like." Forgiveness is to be a hallmark of our life together as Christians and in the life of the church. It's a kingdom value. In my ministry, I've come across many Christians who found it in their hearts to forgive others, but struggle to forgive themselves. But if God is willing to forgive us, then we can forgive ourselves. I'm aware that the talk of forgiveness some people may find difficult, can even add to the pain and guilt already felt, especially if you've been badly hurt, wounded and let down. Forgiveness can seem so difficult. And I think if that's where you are, the answer is to be honest with God about how you're feeling and the struggle you face. For sometimes forgiveness is a process to be worked on, of seeking God's help in it. God understands if our desire is to make that choice in the end to forgive. We've included in the Church Chimes an article about forgiveness, which I hope you may find helpful, and do take it away to read. It may also be you're aware of someone perhaps you need to forgive. It may not be recent, but long ago. And we have to remember, holding on to hurt feelings has no impact on the one who's hurt us. But you can make a choice to forgive and be free. Lord, asked Peter, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. We take our offertory.